61st Psalm. We'll get away from the book of John for tonight. Get back in it, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. But the Lord had laid a message on my heart this afternoon that I will try to deliver tonight. Give me a little more volume. I ain't all quiet. Okay. That'll do it. That's why I can't hear myself. Still can't hear myself, though.
Give me a little more volume. Hey, now we're cooking with grease. Peanut oil.
All right. 61st Psalm tonight. And we'll read verses 1 and 2. Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Let's pray together. Father, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, that you bless us and help us in tonight's meeting. God, we need you tonight. Lord, we need you to show up on the scene. Father, we need you to speak to hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit would have free right of way. Lord, would you help us to preach tonight? God, we're wasting our time if we were to get up and try to preach without your help. But Lord, if you'll help us tonight, God, there might be something done, Lord, that could be of eternal value. So would you help us tonight, Lord? We ask you some wisdom we know how, admitting we're unable. God, I pray that you bless us and do that as only you can. And Father, for all to do, we'll thank and praise you, honor and glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name we make our prayer. Through his blood we pray. Amen and amen. I want us to look tonight here in the 61st Psalm. Now, this psalm, we're told by Spurgeon in his Treasury of David, was a psalm that was written by David. What's the matter? What? I'm still muted? Can't be. Oh. Hello?
Testing 1, 2. Is everybody satisfied with what I'm doing now? Rachel, is there anything I need to do? Praise God, I'm about to start over and read again. This psalm, we are told, was written by David, and we're told by Spurgeon that it was written when David was on the run from Absalom, at one of the darkest times in David's life. We see him here crying out, and he says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." Look what he says here. When my heart is overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed. I began to read this and I started thinking about what it was that David had gone through in his life here. How that his own son and that his trusted advisor, Ahithophel, and how that these others had turned against him. And how that it seemed like that nothing was going the way that it ought to go. And I see David praying. I see David crying out to God. And I can almost sense the heart of David when he thinks, "God, am I even getting through? Are you even listening? Are you paying any attention to what it is that I've got to say tonight?" I'd say that all of us at some point in our life have felt that way. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed about something and it seems like it's not getting better. It seems like it's not working out. And Brother Marvin, we've even come to the place where maybe not with our lips, but in our heart, we have thought, "God, are you even listening?" I guarantee you everybody in this building at some point has been in that place. "God, why is it that I've prayed about this? Why is it that I've cried unto you? Why is it that I've sought you? Why is it that I've spent this time? And it seems like you're not hearing me." Why doesn't God answer prayer? We know in the Bible, we're told that we have not because we ask not. We're told that if we ask, we shall receive. And we claim those promises, and those are great promises to claim, and I praise God for them tonight. I'm glad that I believe in a miracle working God who is able to do the impossible. But all of us at some point have experienced when it seems like we've prayed and we've prayed and we've asked and we've asked, and it seems like the heavens are brass. It seems like God is not listening. And we've wondered, why is our prayers not getting through? We've questioned, why is God not working in this circumstance? Why is God not listening? Or we've thought to ourselves, is God even listening? Is this even real? How come I'm even taking time to do this? So look at that tonight. There's certain subjects that I'm afraid we try to ease around as Christians. Like, for instance, things you prayed about and there was no answer. But there has to be an explanation, right? What if I told you there is an explanation? The explanation's in the Bible. How about that? It's right there in the book. So there are two questions, Brother Steve, that we would ask about this thing of praying and receiving. There's two questions that we would ask when God seems to not be listening. The first question that we would ask is why? Why is it God's not answering my prayer? Why is it seems like that God's not listening? Why is it that I prayed and I prayed and I prayed but it's no better? Why would be the first question. Then the second question, Brother Billy, that we would ask is what can I do? What can I do during this time? How should I behave myself? What should my response be when it seems like God's not listening? Now if you'll listen as the Lord will allow us tonight, I believe the Lord will help us. Number one, why is it that God seems like sometimes He is not listening? Number one, can I say to you that many times our prayers go unanswered because there is a lesson to be learned in what we are facing. How many of you would agree that God sure is a good schoolmaster? And life is full of lessons. And there's lessons that we face, and it's like the song that the kids sing. If I didn't have problems, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. If I never faced an obstacle, I'd never know how big God is. If I never had trouble, I'd never know that God was able to take care of trouble. And oftentimes, God, it seems like, is not listening because something we are facing is a lesson to be learned. And so it's not His will to remove us from the problem we're facing. It's not His will to cause us to be able to get over the hurdle that we see in front of us. Because He wants us to learn. The Bible said in James chapter number 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. So James said, listen, when you're facing troubles, when you're facing problems, rejoice, knowing that it works out your own faith and your own patience. Tribulation works out character traits in you that are positive things if you will allow it to. And there's lessons to be learned in it. A lot of people are never able to get out of the problem they're in because they refuse to learn the lesson. We're doing Bible college, and we had a lot of great students, and all the students did great. But we had one student. Don't go to this church so I can mention it. I had one student turn in an assignment for Todd. And it was just obvious this particular student had not even attempted. Just did not wrote even an answer on a lot of the questions. And Todd walked into my office, wrote it down on my desk, He said, what do you expect me to do with that? And I looked at it, and I throwed it back to him, and I said, fail him. He said, fail it? Fail it. He said, he said, how about I go to it? And we talk about it, get straightened out. Then we can get it the way that it ought to be. I said, sure, Clyde, whatever you want to do. This particular fella, he could have done, he just hadn't. He said, I'll go to him. What I'm going to do is, he said, I'm going to sit down with him, I'm going to go over it, give him another chance. And he did. This time the boy done good on it, turned it in, great. He dinged it a little bit because of his first attempt. But let him fight. But if that boy had said, nah, not interested, then Todd said, well, you failed. What would that mean? That means you can't go no farther than right here until you get this part right. As a lot of people in life repeat the same, it's like Groundhog Day. They go through the same problem again and again and again because they refuse to learn the lesson. How many of you have watched people do that? I'm not going to ask you how many of you have done it. Because a lot of us are guilty. Over and over and over again. Same old lesson. And it seems like, you know, you fail and then you have to start over. And you've seen people do it for sure. Sometimes it's easier for us to pick it out in other people's lives than it is to pick it out in our lives. We'll see other people, they go, get so far with God, and then they fail the test, God starts them over. Alright, let's learn this again. Brings them up through the tutoring course, gets them to the test, they fail the test, He brings them back here. Alright, let's go through it again. Over and over again. So sometimes, God doesn't answer prayer, and it seems like God is not listening, because there is a lesson to be learned from what we're facing. Some of you tonight might ought to be asking the Lord, Lord, what's the lesson? Show me the lesson. I want to pass this course. I'm tired of being in this course. I want to move on. I want to go farther. Oh, show me the lesson. Help me learn the lesson. So there's sometimes that there's a lesson to be learned in what you're facing. Then let me say this secondly, sometimes it seems like God's not listening because of our lack of faith. Look what James says. James is a good book on this. He continues on in verse 6 of that same chapter, chapter 1. The Bible says, but let him ask in faith nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let no man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So the first reason might be that there's a lesson to learn. Then there might be another reason why it seems like God's not listening, and that is that you're praying but not believing. You have to pray and believe. Faith is key to seeing God do things in our life. We've got to believe that not only that God can, but that God will. That God's going to do it for me and in my life. That's a personal faith. I've heard it said before and I believe it true. I have no problem believing that God is able. I don't have a problem believing that God's going to do something for Brother Rick. I don't have a problem believing that God's going to do something for Brother Neil. But somehow when it comes to doing something for me, I struggle to believe. Amen. And it's not that I don't believe God can. I believe He can, and I've seen it evidenced in my life and other life over and over and over again. It's that I struggle with believing that God will. That's what I struggle with. But that is not faith. And if we're to see God answer prayers in our lives, we have to have faith. We have to believe. You have to get yourself to the point where you believe. And here's the thing. Oftentimes when you pray and you pray believing but the heavens are brass, what does that in turn do? It in turn shakes your faith. It makes it hard to believe. So you've got a decision to make. You can let that defeat you if you want. was in the gym one day, and I was mad about something that had happened. I could tell you what, but I don't want to get into it. But I was mad that morning, and I put my usual on and got my reps in. And it felt so light. When you're mad, it felt light. I thought, I'll slam some more on there, and I slammed some more on there, and I laid down and done a few more reps. I thought, oh, I'm still mad. I got up and grabbed 225 and slammed them on each side and laid down on that bench. I unracked that thing and got it on my chest, and it would not budge. It wouldn't have been no different if somebody parked a Volkswagen on me. I said, help. There's a little Mexican that was working on the bench next to me, and he seen what was happening. He threw his weight up and come running over. Hey, senor, senor. And he grabbed one side. He thought he was killing me, you know. And so he grabbed one side and lifted it. And when he did, it put me out of balance. And I didn't have the end caps on. So when he got me out of balance, all the weights on that side went thunk, 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 thunk on the floor. Well, when that happened, he turned loose to the other side, which caused me to go all the way back to the other side. Thunk, 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 thunk on the floor. Well, you can imagine what all them weights falling on the floor sounded like in the gym. Everybody's looking at me. I put it back. I said, thank you very much. And I left them weights laying there, and I just walked out like it's nobody's business. What are you trying to say, preacher? When things get heavy in our life, when it seems like our faith is not being responsive, it could be that God is trying to strengthen our faith. So we've got a choice to make. We pray, we believe, God don't answer. It could be that we have a lack of faith, or it could be that God is trying to strengthen faith. Because you must exercise faith in order to strengthen it. And the more you exercise your faith, the stronger that'll get. And so heavy loads oftentimes will help us to increase our faith by exercising it more. Could be a lack of faith. Number three. It could be that you're asking amiss. The Bible said in James 4:1, for whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust at war in your members? You lust and you have not, you kill and desire, have you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. Watch this. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. It could be that we're asking things to be consumed purely out of our own lust. God does not hear and answer self-absorbed, self-centered prayers. I don't care how much you pray, sir, God's not going to let you hit the lottery. Somebody say, oh Lord, let this ticket be the... No, ain't how that works. I've used this illustration 1,000 times. But it's so apt. I remember years ago, Biltmore Square Mall, like it was yesterday. Black Dodge Dakota truck, looked just like Dave's truck. Black, red, sport on the side. Brandhammer new. They's giving it away. And the whole time Rachel was shopping, I was filling out them papers. I bet I stuffed 300 of them in the box. It's deer season. That's back when I still deer hunted. I went deer hunting the next day, and the whole time I was sitting in the deer stand praying, God, give me that truck. God, you know if I had that truck, I'd go visit it. Oh, Lord, I'd go, boy, they don't tell to drive it to meet. Lord, give me that truck. Prayed that whole time. I got home, son, you talk about getting under conviction. God said you've been up there in the woods praying for an old truck, folks dying and going to hell, people sick, everything else in the world, you're up in the woods praying for a truck. Consume it on your own lusts. So, it could be that you're asking for things, but your motivation is wrong. You're asking amiss. Why doesn't God answer my prayer? I'm trying to help you. It could be that you're praying for something that is dependent upon another man's will. Watch this. I can get down and pray for Steve. I can pray, God, I want you to call Steve to preach. Lord, make Steve a preacher. And I might even get my prayer through and the Lord might call Steve to preach, convict him over it. But Steve still has a free will in the matter. God's not going to force him. You see what I'm saying? He's going to have to decide on himself. He says, no, I ain't going to preach. Well, it seems to me like my prayer's gone unanswered. But it's not that my prayer's gone unanswered. God's done His part. It's that we're dealing with somebody that's got a free will and has to do their part. There's a lot of people pray for people and wonder. They pray for lost people. I don't understand why my son won't get saved. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed believing, preacher. Why ain't God saved my son? It ain't God's fault. If you're praying believing, and that's not asking amiss, you're asking for a good thing. For sure God is convicting your son. For sure He is. But God is not going to force your son to get saved just because you prayed it. I wish people, and I hear, there's a lot of, listen, don't base what you believe on what somebody says they've experienced. Base what you believe on what the Bible says. Because that's where we get messed up a lot of times. Because we hear people testify, oh, Mama, she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. She prayed on Jimmy in. I mean, son Jimmy couldn't stand it. One day he came in church, slid in and got saved. Mama prayed. Mama said, I know Jimmy's going to get saved because I prayed and believed. All of that's good. It's great to have faith. It's great to pray for the lost. I certainly am not preaching against that. But what I'm here to tell you is that those people still have their own free will. And because they don't get saved, or because they don't go to preaching, or because they don't do better, or because they don't get involved in church more, that doesn't mean God's not hearing and answering your prayer. He may be hearing and answering and working and convicting and doing all He can to try and get them people to do right. But in the end, God's always a perfect gentleman. And He's never going to force anybody to do anything. I had a breakthrough about that on my praying ground. I took my prayer list one day and things that I'd marked off, and I got looking at some of all these things I'd marked off. And I said, Lord, You've answered a bunch of these, but there's some of these that I've prayed about just as long and just as hard and believed just the same, but You ain't answered these. How come? The Lord spoke to my heart. Marvin said, look at that. So I started looking at it. All them things that He checked off and answered down through there, those were things that I was praying about. Sicknesses and whatnot. Those things that I hadn't had many check marks through was people I was praying for. People to get back in church. People to get saved. Folks to straighten up and do right. People to get right with one another. Those sorts of things. God said, I've answered those prayers, son. I've worked on every one of them people. But in the end, they've got to work with one another. They've got to work themselves. Because I won't force them to. So it could be that you're praying and that what you're asking for involves the free will of another person. Then let me say this. It could be that what you're asking for is bad for you. Romans chapter number 8. It says all things work together for good to them that love God and called according to His purpose. And I say to you tonight that there's some things over the years that I've asked for that God knew it was not good for me to have. He knew I was asking the wrong thing. What I was asking was bad for me. And so just like a faithful parent, He'll not allow you to have things that you ask for that are bad for you. So those are some reasons why it might seem like God's not listening. Now, let me give you three things to do when it seems like God's not listening. I'll give you three things to do. The first one we see right here in our text in Psalm 66. And that is, when it seems like God is not listening, press toward God. The psalmist, He said here, let's get back to our key verse in 61. I'm sorry, I flipped over there. He said here, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So he said, Lord, my heart's overwhelmed. God, I've pressed beyond measure. It seems like I can't do anything. Here's what the flesh says. When it seems like everything's on you and it's pressure and you're praying, it seems like the heavens crash. You ask, is God even listening? Here's what your flesh will say. Your flesh will say, quit church, stop reading your Bible, quit praying, run away, quit on God. That's what the flesh will say. That's the exact opposite of what you need to do to get help. Flesh says, quit, throw it in. No need reading your Bible, no need praying, no need going to church. Just quit it all. God ain't hearing you. God don't listen. God don't care anything about you. God don't even love you. But instead, the key to surviving those times is not to get away from where we can hear God, but rather to get in where we can hear God. To press harder toward Him. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, in Jeremiah 29 he said this, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search with me with all your heart. Jeremiah said, look for me with all your heart. You say, my heart's broken into a million pieces. Look for Him with the broken pieces. Be honest with Him. Oh, I'm preaching tonight. Allow the tears to flow. Be honest with Him. Tell Him that your heart's broke. Tell Him you want to be nearer to Him. Get more faithful to church than you've ever been. Read your Bible more than you've ever read it. Pray more than you've ever prayed. Get as close as you possibly can. Seek Him with your broken heart. Press toward Him. It seems like you ain't hearing. Get closer. Get closer. Press. 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 We give up too quick. We throw in the towel. We say, well, God's not listening. When what He wants us to do is to cry out and say, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Number one, press toward Him. Number two, not only press toward Him, but Brother Steve, praise Him instead of complaining. Praise Him instead of complaining. How many of you will agree with me right here? You get that object on your heart. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. You pray and you pray and you pray and it seems like it's not going anywhere. And then that object begins to define who you are. And everything else in your life is perceived through this lens of this thing that it seems like God is not doing. And if you're not careful, it leads to discouragement, it leads to bitterness, it leads to depression, it leads to all of these different things, and you get a complaining attitude, where you just a constant complaint instead of a praise. Psalm 40 said, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. The Bible said, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Instead of dwelling on that thing that hurts, instead of dwelling on that place that's broken, instead of continually harping on that, give praise even for the small things. Everybody in this room's got something to praise God for. Got up this morning. Got up this morning. The old ticker's still ticking. Hey man, you're not laying in the hospital nowhere. I'm just telling you, you got small things that every day we can say, thank you Lord. Thank you Lord. Well, truck's still working, got a place to go sleep at night, soft bed to lay down in, roof to keep the rain off. Thank you Lord. shoes on your feet, clothes on your back, had food to eat today, every one of them things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Concentrate instead. The devil wants you to concentrate on what's wrong. Say to the devil, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to concentrate on all this stuff that's right, on all these blessings God has given. I'm going to praise Him for all this good stuff that He's done. I'm not going to dwell. I'm not going to be overtaken by these other things. I'm going to have praise in my heart for all these good things that God has done in my life. Praise instead of complaining. You ever seen anybody that got into such a habit of complaining that it just come natural to them? Just come natural. Can I speak to some of you older saints just a minute? Now, I'm not being in the least bit nitpicky. Let me speak to some of you older saints. Let me just say it this way. When I get older than I am now, I hope that somebody says, oh, Bradley, he's a sweet old man. Because mamaws and papaws, they're just supposed to be sweet. I hope somebody says about me, Bradley, he's just a sweet old man. Got a sweet spirit, loves people. I hope they don't say, oh, he's an ornery old cuss. Ain't he? Can't get along with nobody, heel or a hornet. What a way to be remembered. But now, just nod your head a little bit right here. When I said them two things, examples of both kinds popped in your mind. When I said sweet old older saint, an example popped in your mind. Yeah, I like sister so-and-so. And I said ornery old cuss, you said, oh, I like brother so-and-so. Yeah. Well, you got to work on praising a little bit. There's a whole lot of good going on in your life right now. If you're here tonight and you're saved, really what else matters? So praise instead of complaint. Three things, that's just simple. Press toward Him, praise Him, and then let me say this. Put yourselves in the company of other believers. The Bible said in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. When you feel like God's not hearing you, you need to surround yourself with people that believe. There's a few reasons for that. One, and probably the most pivotal reason, is that when the devil sees you weak, he will send people in your life, if you're not careful, to try and drag you away from God. So you need to surround yourself with some people that are saved and brutally honest. There's nothing wrong with that. They'll tell you where you're standing. If you start to drift a little bit, they'll call you on it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Everybody needs that kind of friend. Amen? Everybody needs that kind of friend. But then not only do we need the kind of friend that would be brutally honest with us, but we need the kind of friend that would scotch for us should we have trouble. I was talking to a lady a few weeks ago and she said to me, Preacher, I can't even pray. I'm having trouble even being able to pray. I don't know how to pray. I can't get a hold of God. And I can't even make a prayer right now. You know what I said to her? I said, don't worry about it. I'll scotch for you. You know why? Because she was my friend and I cared about her. Amen. And I wanted to believe on her behalf and I wanted to believe for her and I wanted to trust for her. And so what I did was I said, I'll scotch where you can't. I'll do what you can't do. I'll pray and believe when you can't. That's a good friend to have. I'm not just saying I'm a good friend, but it's good to have somebody around you when you feel like you can't pray, when you feel like you can't get a hold of God, when you feel like you can't talk to God, it's good to have somebody that you can call on the phone and say, hey, would you pray about this? And you know they're going to get a hold of God. And you know that they're going to ring heaven's prayer bells. And you know that they're going to care about enough about you that they're going to make a prayer to God over you. Listen to what I'm preaching tonight. It's important that we surround ourselves with people who'll pray and know how to pray. So there is this thing of putting yourself in the company of other believers. So when it seems like heaven's not listening, God, are you even listening? Are you hearing me, Lord? Press toward Him. Get closer to Him than you ever have. Read more than you've ever read. Believe more than you've ever believed. Praise Him instead of complaining. Think of all the things that He's done in your life that are great. And then put yourself in the company of other believers. This is some good, simple, simple advice that I believe will help you tonight. Let's stand on our feet. Father, we thank the Lord for your many wonderful blessings. Thank you, God, for all you've done for us. Lord, for allowing us to be back out at your house again on a Sunday night. God, I'm glad that you hear and answer prayer. And I'm glad that you've given us